will increase your efficiency 20% if you learn to do the tough things first, the ones you don't want to do.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If you're going to make it a consistent practice of working Saturdays just because you think you've got to work 80 hours a week to be successful, you're just flat out wrong.
To the downside of venture capital.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Don't want to wait until you jump off the cliff to grab a parachute.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO and today's guest host. Welcome to a special edition of the Tough Things First podcast with Ray's series, Essential Leadership. This is episode 7. I'm your guest host, Rob Artigo, writer and entrepreneur in California. Hi, Ray.
Hey, Rob. Hey, good to be with you again.
Now, you've said ministering and administering are two words that sound similar, but are very different. Define the difference.
Administering is more like supervising, managing, you know, taking care of the business as you would, whereas ministering is like a minister does. Or the difference between, like, say, a department at administering is more like what accounting does, and ministering is more like what human resources does. So ministering is more the touchy-feely, you know, putting your arm around somebody and, well, providing it's in the right way.
Of course.
And where you're showing love and concern and empathy and sympathy and so forth. Where administering, none of that's there. It's all about the numbers, about dealing with the numbers, not the person. So administering is the numbers, ministering is the person.
And you mentioned the putting your arm around somebody. Sometimes that is putting your arm around someone in a caring sense in the course of a conversation. And that makes sense. And of course, that is always important to consider as a leader. So you say that ministering is that loving care for others,
mm-hmm.
that proverbial arm on the shoulder kind of thing. Administering, right. The supervision or managing of a task or function. But you also say the trick is to combine administering and ministering to get the best results.
Yes, because they do work together. It's just that they work differently. So you are going to have to watch the numbers. You are going to have to make sure you dot the I's and cross the T's and do all those things which are, from a functional point of view, are running the business. But really, the best leaders are the ministers, the ones that are caring. They're motivating. They're uplifting. They're guiding. They're directing. They're showing really love.
You also, in this particular area that you were writing about, you say, if we can do that, if we can combine those, get that result, supervise and manage in a loving, caring way. And you say, just think about how wonderful our workplaces, our home, our communities would be. So talk a little bit about how that successful combination of ministering and administering can improve the world around us, whether it be at work or at home.
Well, when we just look at the numbers, you focus on just as you would the dotting the I's and crossing the T's, the legal mumble jumbo and am I making money this quarter and so forth? It becomes very dog eat dog and hard. And it's just, as they say, you're just dealing with the hard facts. Whereas if you can combine that with love and compassion and showing concern, because 75% of the people who leave a company and look for other employment is because they have a difficulty with their supervisor, and not because of the numbers or the facts. It's just because the relationship suffers. And so if you can have a great relationship, as they say, there's no I in team. If you have a great relationship with your people, then your numbers will look good. So I say that, the focus on ministering and administering will just kind of come along.
Yeah, well, take that outside the business place and think about the community. When we have to cooperate with people. And in certain situations in the world, we are, in essence, acting with a certain role of leadership. And in other ways, we're acting in certain roles as followers. But we have to continue to have that mindset, right? It's a way of life. It's not really just a attribute of essential leadership.
Well, you know what I tell the people that, you know, when I hire someone, I say, I'm not here to make you rich. That's your job. You're here to make yourself rich. That's the as you would the administering. But I said, what I'm going to help you do is I'm going to help you become a better person, a better father, better mother, better husband, better wife, you know, a better citizen. That's what I'm going to do. And I said, how much is that worth? And so, you know, that's a very telling difference. That's the ministering part. So you can see that when I hire somebody, I don't talk about administering. I don't talk about making them rich. I talk about helping them become a better person. So if you look at your relationship with your neighbors, your friends, or your associates, and you're really focusing on helping them become better people, in an honest sense, not just trying to set them straight as you would, but if you're trying to help them become better people, and maybe by your example, by your caringness, you know, the way you interact with them, that's what I mean, is that there's where we're going to get along better.
Well, when we were doing these podcasts up to this point, we have discussed various attributes of essential leadership, but we didn't put them in any particular order, and we're not making a formal ranking here, but I do want to ask you where this particular aspect, managing in a loving and caring way, where does that rank in your successful leadership scale?
Well, it's certainly in the top three. Certainly, you know, you have to know what you're doing. You've got to have that ability yourself to do the tough things first. So your habits, as they say, habits of a successful CEO. If you have those good habits, you're healthy, you're taking care of yourself, taking care of your family. You know, those are, of course, number one. If you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to take care of anybody else. So, you know, you gotta have the right health, the right attitude. And so that's very important. And then, you know, as I said, learning to do the tough things first. Things you don't like, loving the things you hate as you would. And then certainly third is having that ministering perspective as opposed to just administering is very, very important.
Yeah. And I heard a story from somebody the other day. He was talking about how he had to transform the way he behaved at work, because he would go to work grumpy, sit behind a desk and bark orders at people. And what he found was that he was just a grumpy, dislikable person. And you mentioned the fact that people who leave companies, the one of the most frequent reasons is that they have decided that they just do not like the supervisor. They can't get along with them. And this guy discovered something about himself and decided that, hey, I can't show up at work doing this. I can't behave this way because I'm cutting off my ability to really communicate and even listen to the people around me.
Well, you know, they talk about the barking dog. You know, the dog that barks all the time at everything is just very irritating. If you have a dog that barks only to warn you, to alert you, that's different. That's the kind of dog you want, but not the dog that barks all the time at everything. The doorbell, the neighbor walking across the street, the car that goes down the street, the cat that comes by the house, you know, that's every time that, you know, no one can stand a yippy barky dog. You know, the story about Chicken Little, you know, always, you know, was crying wolf all the time, you know, that's another one. So a barking boss who barks all the time at everything, anything, is annoying, and that's going to cause you to lose your people.
Is there, so you can look at your staffing report and find out how many people you're losing as to whether or not your indicators that you're failing. You can go and there are probably some indicators there, but if I'm one of those people and recalling this guy's story about sitting behind the desk and just barking orders, is that it took a while for him to figure out that he needed to look at himself in the mirror and listen to what he was saying to people and figure out that there was a problem with what he was doing. And so are there, in your experience in leadership, did you find ways that you could help people see these these weaknesses or behavioral aspects that contribute to failing communication with people, along the lines of what we've been discussing here.
Yes. I mean, you know, you've been in the military, you served in the military police, actually. When you start out, you go to boot camp and you have the drill instructor and he's very annoying. He's not there to make friends. He wants you to learn discipline. He's there to break you down and change you into what the army or what the military wants. That's the kind of boss you don't want to be. I mean, you can still have administering discipline and teach people correct principles without having to bark at them like a drill sergeant. So it's condescending. You remember boot camp, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. It's condescending. I mean, they're trying to break you down. You don't want to break your employees down. You want them to love you. They want them to respect you. You know, and again, Rob, I don't remember if you loved your drill instructor or not, you know, or your boot camp leader. But I've talked to many, many people who served in the military, and I don't remember any of them say they love boot camp.
Well, Ray, you know, the phonetics, phonetic codes and how, you know, in the military, you repeat numbers. So instead of saying nine on the radio, you would say niner.
Right.
And I was going through station training and basic training, and I had my senior drill instructor, because I was nervous. He was standing there right up next to me, hat brim almost touching my face, as I was calling out the radio signal. 7, 8, 9er. And I wasn't saying niner, I was saying nine. And he kicked me in the ankle. And then I did it again. I tried to figure out what I was doing wrong, and I said nine again, and he kicked me in the ankle. It was like three times before I realized I should have been saying niner. Now, it wasn't painful, but it was startling. Anybody with rank, when I was a private E1 in basic training, scared the heck out of me. Mm-hmm. And so for the senior drill instructor, who was an E7 sergeant with three stripes up and two rockers down, that scared me. And then kicking me in the ankle, that was it. So obviously, we don't see people kicking each other in the ankle a lot at in workplaces, but there is a way to metaphorically kick people in the ankle when they're making mistakes. Instead of just explaining something to somebody, you could kick them in the ankle over and over again without really telling them what they're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's an example of failing to manage in a loving and caring way, correct?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So again, you know, you don't want to correct them or berate them right then, okay? You know, you may want to wait until the time is appropriate and say, now let me talk about this, okay? And then, you know, and do it in a loving, caring way, as opposed to beat them over the head, kick them in the ankle, or shouting at them or swearing at them right then and there. People do not like to be berated. Now, in the military, I guess you do expect to be berated at times, but it's not fun. And it's not, no one would ever say that the military is a loving, caring place to work. So, and you're laughing. Yeah. So again, you know, the difference between administering and ministering is the relationship.
Well, that's some good advice, and we'll continue this conversation in the next episode here in this series. Join us next time as we continue the conversation on Essential Leadership, a special series of the Tough Things First podcast. Next time on episode 8, we'll discuss building trust. So remember to join the conversation at toughthingsfirst.com. Your questions and comments, welcome here. And follow Ray Zinn on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And of course, get Ray's books, Tough Things First book, The Zen of Zinn, and the Zen of Zen 2, and I hear the rumor is Zen of Zen 3.
Exactly. Please stand by.
All right. We'll see you next time, Ray. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
You've been listening to Tough Things First, candid talk with Silicon Valley's longest-serving CEO, Ray Zinn. Drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com for more about the book, more podcasts, and links to Ray's Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages to keep up with Ray Zinn's wisdom daily.